Our choices of nutrition determine how healthy we are.
A cultural festival for the Fars province.
Marmishul Lake is a beautiful freshwater lake near Urumiye.
Mahrukh was a descendant of the fourth Imam of the Shi'i faith, Imam Sajjad.
From all over Iran, our team has been working non-stop to bring you a glimpse of our country. Salam, welcome to Iran. Many people are nowadays more conscious about their health. They pay attention to the nutritious value of what they eat. Iranians have become very fond of non-alcoholic beer that's proven to be pretty good for you. Mahsa Mortazavi will tell you all about the health benefits of non-alcoholic beer as she gives you a tour around a factory that produces it in Iran.
Our choices of nutrition determine how healthy we are. Today, with the hustle and bustle that the modern human is going through, the chances of having the time to arrange a fresh meal like the old days are very low. Our wrong nutrition choices are not limited to food only. Soft drinks have become the beverage of choice for many people. Drinking soft drinks on a regular basis poses many disadvantages, such as dehydration, too much sugar, empty calories, and carbonation.
There are lots of beverages that not only quench your thirst, but also provide your body with lots of nutrients. Stay with me as I'll show you around one of the biggest beverage factories in Iran.
The history of beer goes back thousands of years, but it was only in the 19th century that it became a popular drink around the world. Beer has a major downside, and that is the alcohol in it.
Studies have shown that consumption of alcohol can cause many diseases, such as different types of cancer, high blood pressure, heart disease, and etc. On the other side, non-alcoholic beer is good for the body in many different ways. For example, it's good for kidneys. All the machineries are being calibrated once a year by a certified company. The Ministry of Health and the Standard Institute are observing our outcome and taking samples randomly.
Extracted from malted cereal grains, mostly wheat and barley. The malting process takes about 5 days in temperature of 18 degrees and 95% humidity. It's interesting to know that cereals are richest in nutrients when malted.
The dried malt is imported in huge containers. This is the first step towards making a beer, and it's sweet already.
The next level is changing starch to sugar.
This is the brewing tank. After about 2.5 hours of boiling the malt, a rather transparent juice is extracted.
At last, the juice is separated from the scum and boiled for 90 more minutes. In the last 60 minutes of boiling, the beer is flavored with hops, which add bitterness and act as a natural preservative.
I would go down there, but I'm honestly scared.
The liquid is then filtered in different levels until it's completely transparent. Finally, additional vitamins and minerals are added to the non-alcoholic beer, and it's ready to be poured into various types of containers.
Alcohol is extracted from the beer at the end of production process, yet still a very low percentage of alcohol remains in the beer. But in Iran, beer is produced without fermentation, which gives us a definite alcohol-free beer.
We are the biggest company that produces non-alcoholic beer in the world, and also we are the leading of beverages factory in the Iran. Our product are non-alcoholic beer, iced tea, fruit juice, soda, flavored water, soft drink, and malt extract.
Non-alcoholic non-alcoholic beer is rich in magnesium, selenium, potassium, phosphorus, and B vitamins. 16 of the 20 essential amino acids that are helpful to increase children's IQ exist in non-alcoholic beer. Just to name some of the other benefits would be strengthening the bones, helping the digestive system and the blood circulation, and lowering the chances of high blood pressure.
This factory started in 1966, and after the revolution we made a new type of non-alcoholic beer. We have exported to 5 continents, I think more than 25 or about 30 different countries, all the Arab countries, Africa, Europe too.
If you don't like the bitter taste of classic non-alcoholic beer, there are always fruity flavored ones, which are just as beneficial as the classic ones. We are responsible for our health, so let's start correcting our drinking habits as of today. Mahsa Murtazavi for Iran.
On the map, Iran's territory kind of looks like a cat, a chubby one for that matter. It's calmly lounged on over 1,600,000 kilometer squares of the earth. That makes it a bit difficult for tourists to visit all the good there is in this vast land. That's why every now and then, cultural centers in big cities dedicate a week or two to different Iranian provinces. That's how you can take a quick peek at the Iranian cultures you hadn't had time to visit. This time, Hoda Lezgi is taking us to an exhibition where the ways of the central province of Fars are displayed in Tehran.
This is no ordinary trade show. Artists and craftsmen from the Fars province, located in the south of the country, have come together in the capital to show off their works. But that's not all. You also get a sneak peek of their culture and traditions.
Lots of different handicrafts are being put on display here, not just to introduce the rich Iranian heritage, but also to keep it alive and breathing.
Persian miniature has been around for centuries. It flourished in the 13th century and reached new heights during the 16th century. This richly detailed and delicate painting mostly depicts religious or mythological themes, and at first used to function as illustrations of poetic books because it gave a visual image to the literary plot, making it more enjoyable and easier to understand.
برخلاف سبک های نقاشی دیگه تو دنیا اون سه تا چیزی که تو سبک ها رعایت میشن تو مینیاتور نیست اگه باشه مینیاتور نیست یکی پرسپکتیو یکی سایه زدن یکی هم آناتومیه
The rugs and carpets of the Fars province, especially those woven by the Qashqai tribe, are one of the country's best in terms of quality. They usually have geometric patterns, including geometric flowers, animals, and birds.
As with other nomadic tribes, the Qashqai rugs and carpets are woven by women. Engraving is one of Iran's ancient handicrafts, which dates back to the 1st and 2nd millennium BC. This technique is usually done with a small lightweight hammer and a chisel, and on different metals such as copper, brass, steel, silver and gold.
اون وقت پشت کار رو قیر میگیریم پشت مس هر اندازه‌ای که خواستیم طرح و کپی می‌کنیم یه کار من خودم با چسب چوب طرح رو می‌چسبونم یه کار بعد با یه قلم که اسمش نیمبوره شبیه پیچ گوشتیه با چکش تمام طرح رو می‌گیریم بعدش خود کاغذ جدا میشه
The Qashqai tribe, especially the women, are known for their bright, colorful clothes, which include multi-layered skirts, loose-fitting tunics and scarves. The men wear brown or gray round brimless hats with the ear flaps worn upward. They also wear their long cloaks and wide-legged pants.
Wearing a traditional dress and sitting under a tent like this really gives you a sense of the nomadic life. It's all here for you to enjoy and experience. I love Iran. I think Iran is a fantastic place for Westerners to come and visit.
We've been travelling through Iran for the last 3 weeks and visited Shiraz, had a wonderful time, met some wonderful people.
We have bought lots of sweets, Iranian sweets, to take back to share with our family.
Bought some wonderful handicrafts and we have bought some carpets.
And we have taken over 1,000 photos.
It's been a wonderful experience.
The sun is about to set, but the exhibition will still be going on for another couple of hours. There's still a lot more to see and find out here.
The day comes to an end. Local musicians entertain the visitors with traditional music. This exhibition was surely a cultural event worth visiting. A unique experience to gather new information and have some interaction. Hoda Lezghi for Iran.
Water is the primary element of life. Now imagine all the life there is in Iran's West Azerbaijan province. It's the second Iranian province with the most natural water resources. Arash Khalatbari tells us more.
West Azerbaijan has a beautiful nature. You have water everywhere. You have aquatic caves, beautiful ponds, beautiful rivers. To start, I'm going to take you to Sahulan Cave. Let's go.
غار سهولان یکی از شگفتی‌های آفرینش است بعد از غار علی صدر همدان دومین غار آبی ایران به شمار می‌آید در 43 کیلومتری شمال شرق مهابات جاده بوکان مهابات قرار گرفته هرچند از نظر آغاز پیدایش به دوران دوم زمین‌شناسی برمی‌گردد دوره کرتاسه که بزرگترین قندیلای داخل این غار تا 70 میلیون سال قدمت داره
Jacques Dorgan, the famous French adventurer, was the first to explore the cave between 1892 to 1896. He mentioned the cave in his book. The map that Dorgan drew of the cave is 60% compatible with the true map of the cave.
Hello. Experts here have told me that many old, valuable, antique artifacts have been found in this cave, and there is a lot more to be found.
The average depth of water is 22 meters, but the deepest part of the lake is 52 meters.
ما اولین بار اومده ولی خیلی در مورد اینجا شنیدیم اولین باری که میام اینجا
اس وقتی که اومدیم اینجا توش دیدیم با قایق بعدش خفاش بود پرنده ها کبوترا توش هم خیلی خوب بود سنگاش هم آهکی بودن.
It was great. It was just amazing. But there is a lot more.
Marmishu Lake is a beautiful freshwater lake near Urumiya.
We are trying to get to the middle of that island. Sometimes real hard and risky to find a good location. Well, I'll be right back.
People here say that the lake has got its name from a Christian clergy called Marshmon.
I've been doing my best to find a good location to get a good view of the lake, and I've not been real successful. I think this is the best that I'm going to get.
Marmishu Lake has a depth of 50 to 60 meters in some places. Swimming in this lake is considered to be very dangerous, as they say that the water pulls you under, and even the best swimmers cannot swim here.
Here we are in Marmishu Lake, about 60 kilometers from Urumiya City. It's a great place to relax and have fun and get away from it all. It's a great place to fish, and there are a lot of trouts here. But do not try to go in, or you might get muddy like me. Kanibrazan Water Reservoir with 907 hectares of land is the first bird seeing site in Iran. It's about 2 hours drive from Urumiya.
Kanibrazan wetland is registered in Ramsar Convention as Ramsar Site Number 1940, located in the northwest region of the country, consisting of a freshwater lake surrounded by diverse plant communities. The site is located to the south of Lake Urumiya and is surrounded by seasonal wetlands, which become dry during summer and autumn. The wetland is one of the most important habitats for water birds in the region, supporting more than 20,000 birds with more than 100 bird species recorded at this site, including a number of important species such as the endangered white-headed duck. Kanibrazan wetland was initially a seasonal wetland, originally fed by water from surrounding springs and runoff from agricultural land.
If you love bird watching, if you like the sound of water in nature, or if you simply like to take a walk by a river bank, then Urumiya is for you. It's filled with beautiful nature, rivers, caves, and many other attractions. Arash Khalatdari reporting for Iran.
In Iran's northeast city of Nishapur, one of the descendants of Prophet Muhammad, known as Muhammad Mahrukh, lays to rest. Interestingly enough, right next to that holy site is the mausoleum of a 12th century Iranian poet, mathematician, and philosopher, no one but Omar Khayyam. His mausoleum is one of the masterpieces of Iranian architecture. Here's more.
Mahrukh was a descendant of the fourth Imam of the Shi'i faith, Imam Sajjad. In the 9th century, he led a rebellion against the Abbasid Khalifa Ma'mun, but was defeated and sent to exile from Iraq to Marv. On his way to Marv, Mahrukh was martyred and his body was burned. The tomb of Muhammad Mahrukh was built in the Safavid era, more than 300 years ago. On the eastern side of the tomb and in the garden, there stands the monument of a well-known scholar, Omar Khayyam. Qiyasuddin Abulfat Omar ibn Ibrahim Khayyam Neishaburi, who is also known as Hujjatul Haq, was an Iranian mathematician, astronomer, and philosopher who lived in the 11th century. He is best known for his book of quatrains called Rubaiyat, which has been translated into many languages and became a bestseller in the Western world, especially in Europe. Khayyam devised a precise calendar which calculates the exact duration of a solar year. The Jalali calendar, as it is known, soon became official in the country and it is still in use after all these years. The tomb of Omar Khayyam was reconstructed in 1962 with a beautifully new design that catches the eye of every visitor. Khayyam is considered as one of the greatest poets who ever lived, and the scholars of world literature regard his works as noteworthy as those by Homer, Shakespeare, and Dante. On the pillars surrounding the tomb, some of Khayyam's poems have been inscripted. Today, thousands of people from Iran and elsewhere visit his tomb every year.
You know where you can reach our team to tell us what you'd like to know about Iran. Iran@presstv.ir. You can also leave your comments on our Facebook page, Iran Program Press TV. For all of us here in Iran, Khoda Negata.